pronouncement of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Open up your Bibles with me, not to Joshua today, but back it up just a little bit to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let me read you this quote from G. Campbell Morgan, a British evangelist in the turn of the 20th century. He said this, "Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not to sleep. Waiting for God is not to abandon all effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. And third, the ability not to do anything until the command is given." This morning, as we begin our series on Advent, the series title is Waiting on God. Doesn't it feel in many times, especially right now, that we're doing just that? We're waiting on God. We're waiting for Him to change circumstances and situations. And it seems like the arrival of that waiting is taking a long time, doesn't it? Imagine what it was like to be Moses, to be the prophets. Moses, in this time when we read this scripture this morning, it would be 1,400 years before it would be fulfilled. And in that time of waiting for the arrival, waiting to hear from God, the Lord would establish many amazing things so that when His prophet came, it would be glorious. Hear now the word of the Lord. Would you stand with me? Stand with me as we read God's word this morning together. Chapter 18, verse 15 and following. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Hebron, on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see the great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him.'" Let's go a little further. "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in my name of other gods, speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word of the Lord and what he has spoken? When the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." You may be seated. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your holy and written word. This Advent season, this time of arrival, is also a time of waiting. And particularly as we read this scripture, waiting to hear from the Lord. Do you notice the issue that's happening here? In chapter 18, Moses is laying out many things that will happen when they come into the promised land, laying out predictions, promises, prophecies of what kings will be like one day when you call a king, and the mandates upon that king, and what needs to be watched over in that way. Also, there's going to be ways in which you worship the Lord and ways in which you do not worship the Lord. There are those in the land that seek out necromancy, which is speaking to the dead, and divination and occultic practices. And that is the way that they try to discern what God or the spirits or whatever deity they worship desired for them to do. So Moses comes to this place in 15 and understands that the people of God are probably wondering, well, how will we know what God desires? How will we know when he speaks to us and what we need to know of a prophet of God? He gives in the last half, 20 and down, he gives an understanding. If they speak forth these words and they do not come true, it was not from me. And if it's not something that takes place, it is not from me. You do not have to fear them. Later on, he'll give instructions. You got to get rid of them. Strongly, they need to be stoned. They need to be put to death because they do not speak for the Lord. This idea of they speak presumptuously is one that follows in many phrases throughout chapter 18 and follows the idea of those who would speak haughtily, who would look and scoff at God and say, I know better and I assume better. And so this idea that how will the people of God be able to hear what he has to say when they remember all the way back in Sinai, it was a difficult thing to hear. See, we need to hear from the Lord. We're waiting upon him. We're waiting, awaiting a time to hear his voice. Awaiting the voice to be heard. This promise that comes to Moses in this moment is a promise that would burn inside of him and every single prophet that was to come. This word that says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers, and it is to him that you shall listen. That word for listen is the word shema. Shema. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, if we were to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see the great shema. This that every Jew should know and holds close to in their heart. And this is a prayer of Israel. Hear, Shema, O Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. This very prayer echoes in here in this idea that one prophet will come from me to you, raised up among your brothers, and you shall shema him. He shall be the one that you hear and that you listen to. This is more than just a voice crying out in the desert, make way the ways of the Lord. This is one who, it says, he will listen to him. There is a deeper power, there's a deeper authority that comes, that echoes all the way back to Mount Sinai. Well, what was the problem with Mount Sinai? What was the problem for the people? The problem for the people is that God came in his thunderous glory, powerful and dark, fire and lightning and thunder and trumpets. The ground shook. People were told to not even approach the mountain itself. It was frightening. It was scary. It was a holy and righteous God before a people who are broken and lost and sinners. And this very moment that we see is echoed again by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let me read this from verse 23 to 27. As soon as you heard the voice come out in the midst of the darkness, this is thinking about this day, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes, all of your elders, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice come out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man, and man still lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord any more, we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and still has lived? They forget there's Moses standing right before them who listened to him from a burning bush, right? Go near, they're basically telling Moses, go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say and speak to us that our Lord our God will speak to you and we will hear and do it. Even in that great day, someone else was needed, wasn't it? A voice not wanting to hear God in the purity and the clarity and the booming power of His presence. Not being able to withstand that, frightened and scared. But they needed what? A mediary. They needed Moses to go and mediate between them and God. They called for Moses to go and you listen to him. You endure that and then come tell us what he said. How many times is that like our relationship with the Lord? Well, I'm going to wait till Sunday, and then the pastor will give me the message nice and neat and wrapped up that he's been working on all week, and whew, I'll have a tidy little meal that'll last me a whole week. Because maybe in some ways, we're afraid to go and sit down and be silent before the Lord and read His Word and let Him speak to us. Because what happens when that happens? It starts going deeper, doesn't it? It starts going a little bit too close to the things that we need to change, that we're afraid to let go of. This prophet would be like Moses. God emphasizes that very clearly. Just as you have desired of the Lord, your God, at Horeb, on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see the great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you. A prophet like you. Moses was handpicked by God. Raised from death. You think about that. He was brought from death into life even when he was an infant. Remember the story? The king is killing the children and he is hidden away and made safe and even floated down a river to be found by the Pharaoh's daughter. He was a fugitive, though he grew up in the palace of the king. He was a shepherd. He was a humble leader. He was tongue-tied to even speak, yet spoke the words of the Lord and were recorded for all generations. The first five books of the Bible are written by this man who was handpicked and raised by the Lord in the midst of Egypt. But this idea of like Moses, some scholars have argued that this idea of like Moses means that there was going to be many prophets, that there was more than just one prophet. This was a coming of prophets that would come after Moses. This idea that there would be many that would follow and many that would proclaim the words of the Lord, but the ultimate fulfillment would be in God Himself coming to speak and being raised up. This really is a glimpse of the incarnation. That God Himself will raise up one like Moses, handpicked, chosen, raised. We think of Moses and the special relationship that he had with God. Deuteronomy 34 at the end after Moses had died and another scholar finished up the whole writings of Moses. Here in Deuteronomy, it says this, Deuteronomy 34:10. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, that same phrase, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all of his servants in the land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel, no one ever like him. So when God says, I will raise up a prophet like you, that has a big underpinning, doesn't it? Think of all of the things that come. Speak to God face to face. Mighty power. Leading people from bondage into freedom. That is quite a prophet. This is not just someone who would proclaim. See, the role of the prophet was this. The role of the prophet was to hear from God and to speak to the people. He was the intermediary. He was the one who would come and he'd speak forth the truth of the Lord. It might be something that they needed to hear right then and there, and they needed to change in their lives, and even it would give a view of what it would be like if they did not change. And sometimes it was a moment of saying, no matter what you do now, this is coming. This will happen. Moments like Assyria coming down and taking the northern kingdom, Babylon coming and taking Judah into captivity. All of these things are part of the prophet's role. But this prophet would be an intermediary. He would be a mediator that would approach God for the people. And they could not hear God's voice and live, but they could hear this prophet's voice. This voice is the very voice of the one that all of creation had been waiting for. This voice is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let me read this. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. This prophet that would come would be raised up among those who were Israelites. We think of the comparison of Moses and Jesus. Let me go on. They were both fellow Israelites. Moses and Jesus were both shepherds. They were both saviors of their people. Moses and Jesus both fasted for 40 days. Both were born in a time of an evil king who was trying to put to death the boys in the area. Moses and Jesus both gave up royal positions to go save their people. Moses was the prince of Egypt. Jesus is the prince of peace. Moses was a shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Moses fed with manna. Jesus is the very bread of life. Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the stick to heal those poisoned by a snake. And Jesus was lifted up on the cross to heal those who are poisoned by sin. Both were called to the role of the prophet, and both spoke the words of God, but Jesus Christ is the very voice that everyone had been waiting for. Look at the second part of verse 18. Oh, by the way, I was supposed to move on. There we go. Jesus is the voice. that we've all been waiting. I got to catch up to my own PowerPoint here. But we are now waiting. Waiting for the words that would be given to the voice. It's not just that the voice would come, that Jesus would come, but what would he say? What would he proclaim? What would be different from his words? It says this in the second part of 18, "And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded." The very words of the living God spoken to man. With the implications here that there's a directness to those who received all of Jesus' instruction were receiving it from God himself. He himself would put it in their mouth, in his mouth, and they would receive it. They would hear it. This very word, in fact, when he says, "I will put my word in their mouth," is dabah in Hebrew. If I were to look at the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of that Hebrew, the word is rhema. You might have heard that word, rhema. We hear of two words that mean words or word in Greek. One is logos, and we all know that from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the logos. That very word means the full communication, the fullness of all communication of God to man. And that is Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of all communication. But often we see the word rhema. Rhema is this very speech that I'm giving to you right now. The words that are coming out of my mouth. The very things that are coming forth that you would understand and hear right now in this place. Not the fullness. I'm not overwhelming you with a whole bunch of information. I'm just giving you specific information that you would understand. And that is what God is saying here. I will give him the specific instructions that people need to understand in order to live, in order to thrive, in order to know the purpose and the will of God. That was the role of the prophet, was to come and speak forth the words of God that people would know and be able to be changed and be able to obey and follow the Lord. John 6:66 says this, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." That's with Jesus. "So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words, the rhema of eternal life. And we have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" Jesus only spoke that which the Father gave him to say. John chapter 12, 49, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." Can you imagine that this prophet, this very one who we have been waiting for all these 1,400 years, Moses and the people of Israel considered, when he spoke, every single word that he said was directly from God the Father. Directly from God the Father. That's something worth waiting for, isn't it? In that 1,400 years, Moses, he gave information and things came forth. But did Moses do things perfectly? No. Remember, he struck the rock instead of speaking to it at the end. He got angry. He got upset. He got frustrated. He got scared. But this prophet, this one who was waiting to be heard, would speak forth words that would give us understanding of death. Give us understanding of hell and heaven. Give us proclamations of his own death and resurrection. Tell us to have faith in him and put our salvation in him alone. He spoke of loving our neighbors. He spoke of all things being fulfilled in him. And he gave new commands, new commands. He dared to do this, that we would love one another as he had loved us. This word gave more than just a moral declaration by God of his righteous character, like we have in the Ten Commandments that his people are to follow and obey. He gave the word that brought freedom from sin and freedom from death. And he has himself then accomplished all of that. He is the one reaching out to us, this very one sent by God, this very one that we're waiting to hear from, is the one who says, come to me. Come to me. Do you believe? Find rest. That is the prophet that is being waited for. That is the one that we have to consider today, because we're awaiting the voice that was coming. We're awaiting the words that were coming. But here's where we are, brothers and sisters, because we're not awaiting that anymore, are we? We have before us the very living Word of God in which Jesus himself spoke. And so there is now a pronouncement that comes to us in verse 19 that we need to consider. And whoever will not listen, Shema, to my rhema, my words, that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. See, we're not awaiting. We're not awaiting to listen anymore. We're awaiting to hear and obey. We have the very word of God spoken to us. Are we ready to hear it and obey it? That's what God is calling for right now. In fact, this word that says to listen, the Shema in the Greek, is akouo. And akouo means that when you hear it, you do something about it. There's not only a listening to it, but there's a reaction to it. And so what's being called from God is that when you hear his word, you hear what his son has spoken, you will react to it. You will do something about it. It will change your life. Christ, who comes in the fulfillment of Christmas as we celebrate, the very incarnation of God and man, come to speak to us, raised among those who are Israelites, who is God himself, would come and speak to us. And when we hear what he has to say, are we obeying? God says that he himself will darash. He will investigate. He will inquire. He will demand an answer. Because if we've heard what he said that we should do and we don't do it, he himself is going to investigate that and speak to us about that. Just a note, you don't want to be on the end of that discussion. Particularly when it comes to, is he the Savior or is he not? So I want us this morning, as we consider, many of us here are believers, but I want you to consider, do I truly believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ? And if I do truly believe in you, then do I spend enough time in your word, feasting upon your word and saying, Lord, speak to me and tell me what I need to do to change, to be obedient. I know that you've already put all of these sins upon your son that's already been paid for, but I want to listen. I want to love you. I want devotion to you. See, he's already spoken to us, hasn't he? What are you waiting for? A lot of people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm waiting to hear what God wants me to do. Okay. And maybe it's about a job. Maybe it's about a particular relationship. Maybe it's about all those things. And what I want to do often, and I try to do, is say, stop. What has the Lord already told you to do? How are you doing on faithfully following through with that? He has already spoken. Read it and listen to him. Hear and obey him. Obey the living word. He is the very Logos, the full and complete communication to us from God. But we need to understand the Rhema. We need to understand the nitty-gritties right now, what it means to love my neighbor even though I don't find him very lovable. Love my enemy. Well, that person's trying to persecute me. Yes, love them. Give your cloak if they ask for your tunic. Care and be concerned about others. Forgive as we have been forgiven. I don't know about the whole totality of all the things that God would say, because it's overwhelming to me just to try to accomplish those little things that are very clear. But we have the privilege, brothers and sisters, of one who has already spoken to us, one that Moses and all of the prophets awaited. And so I want us to consider this morning. Once again, let me read you this quote. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not abandoning of effort. Waiting for God means, first, activity under command. Do you know what commands the Lord has given you? Second, a readiness for any new commands that might come. Has he inspired you to learn and to grow and to know something new that he is calling you to let go of or change or follow today? And third, the ability to do nothing until that command is given. Brothers and sisters, I pray we go from this place ready to obey. For the word that all mankind has been waiting for has come, and we are so blessed to have his word before us. Let us live in it and thrive in it. Let's pray right now to him. Father in heaven, please help us. Help us to understand the truth. Help us to know exactly what you're commanding us to do in obedience. Lord, for some of us that might be laying aside sins that so readily hold fast to us. I know in my own life, Lord, I have those sins. Father, sometimes it is obedience to go the extra mile or to take account of other people and not just be self-focused or family-focused, but to see others in need and to care for them and to love them as you have loved us. Lord, help us to do that. Sometimes it's forgiving those who have hurt us deeply, Lord, and that is so hard to let go of and so hard to say, oh, but Lord, you don't know what they've done. And yet we're reminded, oh God, that you are the one, Lord Jesus, who upon the cross